verse 1. Paul is writing to a church that he has a very strong relationship with. Some parts of the New Testament are written where the church is in the midst of terrible problems and chaos. And I think too often we take our cues on what the church is supposed to be from the churches where they were always in a mess. But in the book of Ephesians, it's laid out for us what the church was intended to be and how it was intended to function. And it's such a beautiful and uplifting and encouraging letter. I don't want to may have a stratification of the Bible and say one's more beautiful or better than another part, but it is an inspiring letter to read. And as we look at Ephesians 4, we see so clearly how our lives come together for fulfilling God's purpose in the world. So let's stand in honor of God 4, beginning at verse 1. Open your heart today. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So we have here in this passage this incredibly beautiful and powerful metaphor of the church as the body of Christ. Now that's not just a beautiful metaphor, it's a radical metaphor if you think about it, right? The whole idea of what Christmas was about that we just got done celebrating was God becoming flesh, right? Jesus coming to earth, he's fully God, he was fully man, he was dwelling with us, Emmanuel, like it says on the banner behind me this morning. Jesus came and embodied the presence of God here on earth. But as he ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit into our lives, now the church is the body of Christ. And this is where our language kind of fails us a little bit. When you look outside, we see that and we say, oh, it's snowing today. And, you know, we deal with snow from time to time and for a season and for a short period of time. Usually it's cleaned up and sometimes it melts within a few days. But Eskimos live in an area where they are dealing with snow all the time. And according to some research I did a few years ago, supposedly the Eskimos have up to 17 different words for snow. Now, I didn't learn all of them, and actually I didn't learn any of them, but 17 different words, because it doesn't, snow is like, of course, it's everywhere. It would be like grass to us or concrete. Snow is everywhere in their world. What matters is what kind of snow. How recently did it fall? Is it light, like this lake effect, fluffy stuff that's falling today? Or is it the heavy, wet stuff? Was it recently trampled by an animal, therefore increasing the opportunity to maybe find dinner? Whatever the case, they need to really quickly communicate the details about snow. Well, we've got one word for it, and so you'd have to add a bunch of words to what we're saying to communicate to someone whose life really depended on what type of snow was there. That's kind of the situation with the word church. When people say church, a lot of times they're talking about the building, right? Or it's at the church. Let's meet at the church. This is going to happen at the church. And we're talking about a building that you can see as you drive by it or come inside of it. Other times we'll say things like, well, let's go to church. And that means go to an event or a worship service, right, that's happening and taking place, an event in time. And yet we're using the same word. Or then we'll talk about the church and we're talking about the people, right? Well, the church ought to do this, or the church should go and do there, or the church has planned to take this on. And then we're talking about the people, right? Then and only then are we really talking about the church as Paul means it here. Another word we might use is the congregation, right? Or the fellowship. Or, as it is shared in this passage here, the body. The body of believers and the body of Christ. So here we're talking about people. We're not talking about buildings and we're not talking about events. We're talking about a network of people who have been brought together because of one thing, because Jesus died for our sins and was raised again victorious over sin and death and hell and ascended into heaven and is now ruling and reigning. So we are leaving everything to follow him, and we are living in a way that allows his will to be done, his kingdom to come, on earth as it is in heaven. That is the church, the group of people whose lives have been changed by the love and the power and the grace of God, who are now living together in such a way as to move God's kingdom forward here on earth. So in that way, all of us who have Christ in us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through our daily choices to open ourselves fully to him, we are now the way the presence of Jesus is moving out physically through our world. So the Holy Spirit is active throughout the world and deep inside of us, but yet we are embodying that presence and that power. Does that make sense? And so it's a way that his ministry is continuing here on earth, where Jesus said to his disciples, you marvel at this, but you will do greater things in my name. Do we believe that? And do we really receive it as God's commission for us? If you really start to think about it for any length of time at all, it completely refocuses your life. We get worried about aches and pains. We get worried about bills being paid. We get worried about that person who cut us off at that intersection or whatever else. We get sidetracked by things. But we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are called together as a people, and our primary identity is as the body of Christ in the world. If we forget who we are, then it's hard for the body to function. Now, Paul talks about that in another place, all the things that can break down and go wrong. But just think about it. That's kind of what happens in our physical bodies, right? One part of your body says, nope, I've done enough. I've had enough. That's all I'm going to do. And if you try to force that part of your body to do something it really doesn't want to do right now, it's going to let you know in no uncertain terms it does not want to cooperate today. If it's barking at you seriously enough, you really have to go along with it. Other times, you can negotiate with your body, right? And you can say, okay, knee, I know the first few steps are hard, but we're going to go there. So get yourself ready, because here we go, right? And you can still work through it. But you realize in those moments just how complicated your body is and how amazing it is that most of the time it all works pretty well and carries you through life. So if you think about that in terms of all of us together are the body of Christ, then each one of us does have a really important role to play. And when we're healthy and connected and doing what God has in mind for us to do, the whole body thrives and functions and grows, and every other part does better as well. When we're not moving together as one, it creates difficulty, and there are strains and pulls and challenges that come. So just this core imagery is amazing and fascinating, and you could live with it and dwell on it. We could talk about it for hours. But in the midst of this image that God has given us, there is also this very clear picture of Jesus doing a lot of work behind the scenes to make all of this go well. And so there's this reference to, like we said in the Apostles' Creed this morning, about Jesus descending, about Jesus doing work, about what he did on the cross having a deep effect in our lives and empowering us for now and for the life to come. But the imagery here is, it's picking up some Old Testament imagery, and it's about someone who has won a battle and is now going on in victory, and they've got this booty or this bounty from that battle that they now have, and they're distributing it out to others so that it is a blessing to them and then through them. So this is a powerful picture of stewardship as well. Jesus won the great victory. And again, I don't have time to go into all of this at the depth that we could this morning, but sometimes when we think of what Jesus did on the cross, we think about it too narrowly and too small. We think about it only in terms of forgiveness of sins. But that's only one part of what Jesus was doing there. He was also winning the war against sin and the devil. Amen? He was victorious over all of the efforts of the enemy to thwart and destroy humanity. He absorbed into himself all the violence of one of the greatest empires that ever existed, and they still could not destroy who he was and what he was about. And he won those powerful victories. And he even descended to the depths of the grave. And he brought out those who had been faithful and looking toward what God would do to redeem his people. And he took them forward into the presence of the Father, where they now await the fullness of the kingdom of God. And in the process, he won for us the blessings that we need. And he designed for us the giftings that we have so that we could function as we can to be almost like an army for God, certainly a body for God, taking forward his love and peace and blessings into the world. So, he is the one, it says, Christ himself gave these gifts. So that, again, is extremely powerful for us to remember. So Christ distributed gifts for his church. So let's think about that. These are not just ideas from some leadership book or Bible study written by a human being. This is how Jesus distributed his grace so that his people could accomplish his mission. Amen? And so we need to own that and find that focus in our own journey with him. Jesus gave us all gifts. They're clustered around these five areas. And in living into those gifts and using our talents and abilities, that's where we see God working out his will in the world. These gifts are blessings. They are a blessing to us. They help us to understand who we are. They help us to feel the presence of God actively working in our lives. If we're just sitting at home alone with our Bible open, sometimes we're going to come across something that's incredibly inspiring. We're going to feel God's presence in a tangible way. It'll be a wonderful and beautiful thing. But if we don't do anything with that, and if we don't have any idea where to go with these insights that we gain, then we're going to find ourselves dull and blah and not sure of what to do or where to go. And so with the blessing also comes the responsibility. Let's just say that together this morning. With the blessing also comes the responsibility. So we receive the gifts that God has given us, and then we take responsibility for them in how we live with purpose. Now, whenever a pastor is going to start talking about spiritual gifts, there's always some people who start dreading this. And they think, oh boy, I'm going to have to do more. Well, maybe you are, right? But all that's happening, if that's happening, is God waking you up to a truth that has always been true, and you may or may not have been woke to that gift. You may or may not have been aware of it, and now you can see it as an opportunity. When you have an ability, and it's a God-given ability, and you put it into action, although there's work involved, it has its own reward almost built into it, right? As you sense the presence of God working, as you're using that gift, there's a sense of purpose that is fulfilled in you that nothing else can provide. So although it is a responsibility, it's a response for which you have the ability because God has put it in you. So much of our time can be wasted when we're trying to do things we were never made to do. And when we realize where God has gifted us and we begin to use those gifts, we can find a deep sense of purpose. We can find a renewing sense of a calling into what we're doing. We find energy we didn't know we had otherwise, and it leads us to other resources and other people who are also using their gifts, and it just goes on and on and on until a wonderful concert, a symphony, really, of God's grace is unfolding around us. Okay, so there are, according to what Paul is writing here to Ephesians, there are five areas of gifting that help to guide the church. And so it says that all of these five areas are given for some of the following reasons. You might want to jot this down, but I'm simply just saying to you a resource that I found that's literally just repeating what's stated in the passage, but it's helpful to look at it this way. So every area of gifting that God has given us is, first of all, to equip believers for works of service. Okay? So the reason we have gifts is not just for ourselves. The reason we have the gifts that we have is so that we can help equip others. And this is the part we often miss and don't think about. We just think about, well, I have this job to do in the church, and it's the thing I'm supposed to do, it's a responsibility I have, and man, it's a lot of work, and there's not enough people who help me do it. And it's really easy to just get in your silo there and thinking about this. How often do we think about it? Wow, if I do this, so many other people will be blessed. And they will have an opportunity to experience God's grace. And then as their cup is more full, they'll be better and able to serve someone else. And as they do that, then that person is more full, and they might both minister to me, and now I'm strengthened again, and I have what I need to keep going. Are you starting to get the picture here? It's there for the equipping of the body of the believers for works of service. how often are we fully engaged in this purpose? The next purpose that's there is to build up the body of believers in growth and maturity. Well, the next time you're sitting around and thinking that people around you just aren't mature enough or they're not spiritually growing enough, ask yourself, what am I doing? How is what I'm doing contributing to others growing in their maturity? Am I creating opportunities for others to grow? So that means no matter what your task is, whether it's decorating because you've been gifted in that way, whether it's teaching a class, whether it's serving behind the scenes, whether it's being an usher or a greeter, whatever it is that you're doing, how is that creating an opportunity for growth and maturity in others? So if what you're doing is primarily a physical task, what are you doing that in isolation? Or are you asking someone else to join you in that task? And as you ask them to do it, are you asking them in a sense of, oh, you know, this is so hard, and how are we going to do this, and let's do that? Or are you saying, come together with me, and let's help do this task that we need to do so that worship can happen, so that the offerings can be carefully collected and the gifts that people have given to the Lord can be multiplied for the building of his kingdom? Are you thinking about it all the time in terms of how you communicate and the example that you set in the tone of what you're doing, that it moves people forward to maturity and growth? Maybe even a couple times a year, could your team get together and open the scriptures and talk and pray together and just keep that spiritual focus as you plan for the things that are coming up in the days and weeks ahead? There's opportunity that we can build into every area of ministry for building others up in growth and maturity, and maybe even just encouraging them to be involved in all the things the church has that will help them to grow. All right, the next one is that the purpose is to create unity of faith. All right? So let's say that together, to create unity of faith. Now, unity and uniformity are not exactly the same thing. We don't always all see everything the same. And that's why we're gifted uniquely, to have a unique perspective that we can offer. But as we offer our perspective, do we offer it in a spirit that says, this is what God's calling us to, maybe this would help us to do it better. Amen? So we bring our perspectives to the table. We don't hold them back. We share them. But the purpose is to unify everyone, to help us find that common ground. Just like our government right now, we may come to places where we believe in something deeply and we have a lot of conviction about it and we're tempted to dig in our heels about it. But there comes a time when we have to move forward. And we can become dominated, if we're not careful, by a divisive kind of thinking that's really not helping. And now, although you might have a right idea, and that might be a good conviction, the timing might not be now. Or if it is, there might be a more creative way to express that helps bring people together. Let's keep assuming the best about one another. Let's keep believing in each other and the work that God is doing in our lives. And let's keep our focus on him, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen? And so in him, we can all find unity. But is what we're doing and what we're saying contributing to others having unity of faith, or toward others thinking divisively? That's a misuse of our gift if we're not using it to create unity. All right, next, increased knowledge about God, Jesus, and the kingdom. And so we're wanting to let people know the truth so they can live into it. So we need teachers to do that, and we see that most clearly. We need activity leaders who will say, hey, these are the actions we're going to take. But what the scripture here is saying is we need all of them, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all of them are to be helping people increase in their knowledge about God. So again, think about how what you're doing can shed light. Another practical example, with the way that we decorate, we are telling the story about the fullness of God and the gospel and how it unfolds over time. Even that's one example that comes to mind that's a beautiful and easy way to see it. Makes it visual for us so we can understand it and receive it at another level. A child that might not be able to make sense of other things in a service can look at a cross, can look at a banner, can see an image or something else, and it communicates to them joy or sorrow or sacrifice or faith. And all of that works together. Next, to grow believers to be mature in their faith with sound doctrine. Again, we just want to encourage that in every corner. Hopefully, in every part of teaching ministry that takes place in our church, sound doctrine is at the core of everything we're saying, where we're studying deeply and we're making sure and we're rightly dividing the word of truth. But then in other simple conversations that we have with people, where we see aberrant things being said that really aren't toward the truth, can we find a loving way to say, you know, I wonder about that. Maybe we should talk about that at our next gathering and see if that's really what Jesus taught. Next, to develop strong believers who are secure in their faith. We all face challenges, and they are perpetual, and they are continual, and they are seemingly new every morning. But like we sang this morning, His mercies are also new every morning, right? And even though it's a new horizon, if we're set on Him, He greets us here, He meets us where we are, and provides us for what we need. Can we set that tone by the way we influence others to have a sense of assurance that God is going to lead us to the other side? And finally, to mature the saints to be able to stand in the face of challenges and the deceits of the world. Our goal is that even under pressure, every person who is connected to our church family will be able, even in those pressure-filled, confusing moments, to represent Christ in an authentic way. Amen? And that's why there's an urgency to what we do, because that's what the world sees. That's where the world is watching most. How we respond. Do we turn away from pain or do we turn toward it? Do we just not care about injustice or are we willing to take a stand? Do we care when people are hurting around us? And are we judging them or are we empowering them with the truth and the grace of God? What we're doing matters, and whether or not we're maturing together in the faith and becoming stronger together and growing, that's kind of our ongoing evaluation of how we are doing. And we all share that responsibility. And finally, to disciple believers in continual growth with an ever-increasing outward manifestation of love. So we have to know one another for these things to take place. So I just want to talk for a moment about these five. Apostle, what does that mean? Well, there are the 12 apostles, but these were just the people in the early church who embodied this the most and were given this as an office that was official. But the gift of apostle is one that seems to be sprinkled throughout God's church, and many people are gifted in this kind of way, and they can help contribute to the growth of the body. So an apostle sees what could be for the kingdom and works to start new things and to rally people, okay? So an apostle is one who looks out in faith, and even though something's not there yet, they see that it could be. So let's consider starting something new. And who are the people who will join me in this? It'll help us connect to people who are outside of the faith, and we can work together to see it happen. That's people who are gifted as an apostle. Prophets are people who see what could be better. Now, just like apostles sometimes see things that aren't quite there in their humanness, sometimes they're seeing things that God wants to be there, sometimes they're off just a little bit. Well, the same kind of danger is there for prophets. Prophets are people who can see what could be better. Now, that is God-given and affirms the body. Sometimes prophets get a little negative. And so sometimes prophets are just seeing everywhere what everyone's doing wrong, or they get a little sour on one person, and all of a sudden there's nothing that person could possibly ever do that would be right. That's getting off track a little bit. And being a prophet and someone who can see with insight the way things are in a very true way, sometimes that could weigh heavy on your spirit. But it also is a very helpful function of the body to help us say, let's consider this. But we have to have discernment, and we have to apply it with a bit of a grain of salt and with lots of grace. But prophets can help us to do better and to see to it that our values are lived out well in community. Now, evangelists are people who paint pictures of the kingdom and live in connecting and redemptive ways. So an evangelist is someone who's able to communicate with people who don't really understand churchy language, don't have a history of involvement with the church, and they choose to live their life in ways that help them connect with people who do not yet know the story. And we've all known people who have this gift in very high measure, and we all look up to them and we're just in awe of it. But that gifting can be sprinkled throughout the body. And sometimes we don't realize it, but we have ways that we can contribute to that area of service as well. Now, what the scripture here is calling pastors, it's not the same thing as being like the lead pastor of a local congregation. But in this sense, what it means is pastors bring people together to develop Christian relationships and serve the church. The pastor image here is one of shepherd, someone who cares about people, doesn't want to see anyone going astray, tries to bring folks together in harmony and in unity, and also tries to help them do the things that will help the body to grow. So this is not just being a senior pastor. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who is gifted by God to help shepherd and disciple other people. And then finally, teachers. Teachers are those who make things clear and light the way to truth and right living. So teachers are able to make it practical, able to bring it down where we live and allow the truth of the scriptures to take root in our lives. And we need all of these people to be functioning. So maybe you've never seen yourself as one of these five types of leaders, but you've most likely been gifted in one of these five areas. And therefore, you influence the healthy development of the church by how your gifting is put into concert with everyone else. You tracking with me there? So it's sensing how my gifting and my calling fits into these five areas. So you have with you inside your bulletin something called the fivefold survey. Would you take that out? And there should be a pencil or pen in the chair around you there, even if you don't have something with you, but if you have your own, use that. Please take just a moment to just quickly give a number between 1 to 10 to every one of these statements. And then if you'll do that and turn it in to me, I'll total it up for you, and at next week's vision gathering, I'll put some materials in your hand that could help you decide how you may want to take next steps in your journey. So just take a moment. There's no right or wrong answer here, other than it is the first thing that comes to your mind as the 1 to 10 number to assign for these. This is not a test. You're not going to be graded. It's just going to help you discover how God is working in your life and what might be powerful next steps for you. So just look at each of the statements and intuitively make a 1 to 10 decision about whether or not that statement is true for you, and then just score it for yourself there. And if it just doesn't register with you at all, that would be one that gets a low score. If one resonates with you strongly and you're like, yeah, that's me, 10, right? If you're like, well, sometimes, that's a 5. But don't overthink it. Don't even give more than a minute or so. to each one of these, and it might only be a few seconds each. Your first impression is the best response. A couple of us have already filled this out, and it's encouraging to see the ways that God has gifted you and to see how it might fit in concert with others. So we'll give you just a couple more minutes here to finish up. We have a little bit of music maybe to cover this while we're filling it out. Yeah, can we have a little more lighting too, perhaps? They're up as high as they go? Okay. Hopefully it's encouraging and exciting just to begin to see where God's working. Keep the music up for just a couple of minutes. Isn't it exciting to begin to think about the fact that God has gifted his church and that we have almost unlimited potential to bless our world? Because Jesus didn't go to all this effort for no good reason. And he has designed and blessed and gifted each of us. All of our gifts matter. pastor's gifts don't matter more than someone else's gifts. In many settings, they matter a lot less. So you go out and impact people that I may never meet. You're in situations that I would never be in. And your skills and abilities are applied there and here in ways that I never could. It's time we stop trying to make this huge differential. All of us are gifted in ways that we don't know. And because of you, the church can grow. The church can be strong in every age. Boys and girls find their way by Jesus. Yeah, please put your name. There's a place to put your name at the top of the front page. Joy made me redo it so you'd have a place to put your name. So please do put your name on it. And again, we're not grading you and scoring this. We're finding out how you view how God's working in your life right now in light of these statements. And it's a starting point. It's just a starting point. The goal is for you to get deeply in sync with how your gifting strengthens the mission of God in the world. That's amazing. You're crucial, though, to God's plan. And I hope that does fill you with purpose. All right, let's stand together. Heavenly Father, this may be one of the most important days in the history of our church. If even gets better connected to how their gifting connects with how you have gifted us. And if we discover how what we are strengthens who the church is and all that the church does. So Father, bless each one of us. Fill us with encouragement, not discouragement. Fill us with a sense of anticipation and purpose as we look ahead to the meeting next week. We do so with great joy that we could gather and share a meal together and dream together about what you're going to do in and through this congregation. Thank you that you're just getting started in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, if you haven't let Joy know whether you're going to join us for lunch, or actually, if you haven't let her know that you are going to join us for lunch, please do that before you go so we can finalize the plans. But it's going to be a great time next Sunday afternoon. But now, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, serve in the gifts of God in a way that advances the mission of Jesus' church. In his name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Be safe. Let me have your sheets before you go.